I'm not going to mess with this, so I hope it doesn't fall or anything. I'll just go ahead and read that and hope you all can hear. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving. And with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres, the musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the name who I can't pronounce, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Azmaveth, for the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall.
じゃあ日本語でネヘミヤ記12章27節から30節を読みます。彼らはエルサレムの城壁の奉献式の時にレビ人を彼らのいるすべてのところから探し出してエルサレムに来させシンバルと従弦のことと立てことに合わせて感謝の歌を歌いながら喜んで奉献式を行おうとした。そこで歌歌いたちはエルサレムの周辺の四方やネトファビトの村々から集まってきた。またベテ・ギルガルやゲバとアズマベテの農地からも集まってきた。この歌歌いたちはエルサレムの周辺に自分たちの村々を建てていたからである。祭司とレビ人は自分たちの身を清め、また民と門と城壁を清めた。
Morning again. You guys doing all right? Praise God, praise God. Today I want to talk a little bit about harvest time. We have any country folks in here? One. Mark, you're kind of country, right? So I don't know if you city folks know about harvest. I'm a city folk too, so I really don't know about harvest. But I feel like the Lord is talking about harvest. And are you guys familiar with harvest in the Bible? Biblically, what the harvest is about. There's a story, a parable that Jesus talks about. And I read this last week, and I'll read it again this week. But you find this in Matthew chapter 13. This isn't on the PowerPoints, but let me just read this. Matthew 13. Jesus, how many of you guys know God likes to talk in mysteries and parables? Yeah? Sometimes when you dream and it's like symbolic and it has all these things that confuses you, but you know it's like God trying to talk to you, that's God talking in parables. It was frustrating for the first century Christians. And let me tell you, it'll be frustrating for you as a 21st century Christian if you don't know Jesus. And if you don't ask Him, hey Lord, what are you trying to say? Does that make sense? I believe the Lord will begin to talk to you more and more in dreams and in these parables, that if we don't discover or if we don't have revelation, we'll miss what the Lord is trying to say. You guys hearing me? Is this thing on? Yeah, it's on? Okay, good. I don't know if I'm connecting with you guys. I'll give you an easy one. Jesus is good.
Amen.
All right. I got one Christian in the house. No, just kidding. Jesus is good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's practice that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That means I agree. That means it is good. It is well with my soul. Matthew 13. Jesus says this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed wheat among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't we sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go pull them out? No, he answered, because while you pull out the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, first collect the weeds, and then tie them in bundles to burn, then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. So there's a, here's a parable Jesus is talking about weeds and wheat and, you know, should we pull them up? And he's like, no. Let me ask you, if you ever had a dream about weeds and wheat, would you ever think about the end of the age? Or would you ever think about salvation? Or would you ever think about spiritual maturity? Any of those things, would those things come to mind if you had a dream about weeds and wheat? No, you might probably start thinking about, oh, I need to hire a gardener. My backyard is getting out of hand. Or something like that, right? And then, so, you know, the disciples, same thing. It's like, what is he talking about weeds and wheat for? Are we supposed to be farmers? Did he bring us out of fishing to be farmers? And so they asked Jesus, and Jesus explains them. He says to them, the one who sowed good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Wow, how do you get all of that from weeds and wheat? Well, Jesus, he will teach you. He will teach us. I want you to catch this. The harvest is the end of the age. Jesus talks about let them grow up together. And as we near the end of the age, and I do believe we are nearing the end of the age. I'm not saying it's going to come next week, but I do believe it'll come soon. But Jesus is saying this, let them mature together, right? And so there's the maturing process that Jesus is waiting for the church. But at the same time, there's going to be a maturing process that happens of the enemy, of Satan. That's a scary thought. And you'll see even more high-level satanic activity going on in the end of the age. A greater increase in the Antichrist spirit in the end of the age. A greater increase in wickedness in the end of the age. A greater increase in all of these things that the evil one sowed into the world. But at the same time, there will be a greater increase, should be, right, in the church. A greater maturity within the people of God. That they will look like Jesus. That as a body, the church will operate the way Jesus operated when he walked on earth. The maturity of the church. And it's saying at the end of the age, these two things will mature. And then we will know the difference. We won't think, oh, is that Christian? No, no, that's not Christian. No, it'll be so mature, you'll know what is wheat and what is weed. I don't know about wheat and wheat, so I've heard this and I've read this, but it seems like when wheat and weed, they grow up, they look the same at first. But when they mature, the wheat, it bows down. And then the weed, it just keeps on going up. Today, I do want to talk about the harvest. The first thing I want to talk about harvest is positioning ourselves. We've been going through the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah 12:27, this is almost the end of Nehemiah's story. The walls are built. They've celebrated several feasts that they forgot to celebrate. And in 27, they begin to get ready to dedicate the wall. And it says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. Let me just say this, that singing, this worship, cymbals, harps, bringing in the Levites, it was more than just setting the mood. It was more than just setting a celebratory mood. When we sing, when we worship, it's more than just getting ready for the word. It's more than just getting our hearts settled. There's a spiritual aspect and dynamic to it that really sets us in position to win the battle. What do I mean by that? I've been reading through Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and you see in several instances, physical battles are won through worship. Physical altercations were won through worship. There was one time the children of God were being attacked and they were surrounded. And it said, they blew the horns and they yelled, and when that happened, God broke out. And the children of Israel began to win the war. In another instance, they had worship prior to war, and that was the key to victory. You know, it talks about in Ephesians 2:2 that Satan is the god of the air. You guys know that verse? It says Satan is the god of the air. He rules the kingdom of the air. And it's the idea of airwaves that makes a difference. You guys know there's airwaves going through us right now, right? Things we can't see. Even now. That if I had like an AM and FM tuner, I could probably pick up information, right? Music, the football game, whatever. Talk radio, I don't know. I don't know what you guys are into. With that said, it says Satan is the king. Let me read that, Ephesians 2. I feel like there's some hesitation to go with me on this ride. So let me read this. Ephesians 2:2. It says, I'm going to read from verse 1, Ephesians 2:1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I believe that's a reference to Lucifer, to Satan. I believe a battle becomes easier if you rule the airwaves. Even physical battles, even now. If you were to, God forbid, but it will happen sooner or later, when nation goes to war with other nations, one of their targets will probably be the airwaves. So they won't be able to communicate with one another. Right? If you cut that off, it's probably easier to defeat your enemy. If you could cut off communication, the airwaves, it's easier to defeat your enemies. It's kind of cold in here, yeah? No? It's just me? You guys could turn off their AC if you want.
Oh, no.
Okay. Anyways, I'll hurry up. Maybe we'll do some like exercise or something.
There you go. Center box.
But the revelation here is this. The children of Israel knew there was something up with music, with the airwaves. More than just setting the mood. In fact, if you turn to the next slide, there was this one time the presence of God fell so thick and tangible in the presence of worship that the priest could not minister. It's in 2 Chronicles 5:13. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It says this. I'm going to read from 11. The priest then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Judith, and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. And they were accompanied by 120 priests around sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. The singers raised their voice in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Amen. What a glorious sight. Amen. That they came together, they began to sing, they began to play their instruments in unison in worship, and the presence of God came so thick that the priests couldn't do their priestly duties. The presence of God was so tangible in that place that they were undone and they couldn't do their job. That would be if we worship and the presence of God was so thick that it would be such a powerful presence that I would come up here and I wouldn't be able to preach. You're like, well, it's happening right now. No, just kidding. But we wouldn't be able to do anything. In your life, if you're Christian, do you desire that in your life? The presence of God in your life. The person of God in your life. You know, I've been trying to meditate, trying to position myself for the presence of God. And it's hard. Let me tell you, it's hard just to sit there and do nothing and wait for God. You guys ever try that before? It's one thing to read the Bible, you know. But it's another thing to just sit there and meditate and wait for the Lord. Because that when you read the Bible, you're getting something out of it. You're getting information, you're getting revelation, you're getting a lot of just good stuff, right? When you read the Word. Amen? There's promises in there, there's stories, inspirational stories in here. And it's one thing to just read the Word and just enjoy the Word, but it's another thing just to sit there and wait upon God. I'm telling you, if you ever try that, you'll be like, man, this is hard. If you've never done it. Well, that's my experience. You know what's not hard for me? It's not hard just to sit with my wife and do nothing. It's not. I just like being around her. In fact, sometimes I'm watching TV and she's not around. I'll turn off the TV and I'll just go with her. Man, I wish she was in the room. I'll get some brownie points. You tell her I said some good stuff about her. Okay? I just like being around her. Yeah, yeah. Got some brownie points, Wayne. How about with the Lord? You know, some people, they're nice and they want people around that can do stuff for them, right? You know, if some rich or famous person came in the door here, I'm sure a lot of people would try to, you know, get his attention. Obama walks in, you know, you probably want to shake his hand. Even if you're not a fan of it, you probably want to shake the president's hand. Or if Billy Graham came in here, you'd probably want him to pray for you or something, you know. I don't know what you guys like. but if a homeless person walked in who can't really do nothing for you, in fact, you'd probably have to do something for him, it's another story. Now, the Bible talks about people like that, though. And it's not good what the Bible says about people like that. Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these, you have done unto me. That's not my sermon. That's just something that's on the side. My point is this, though. Do you really love Jesus? A lot of us, we love what He's done. I love what He's done. What He's done is amazing. And what He can do for me is amazing as well. I love what He's done and what He can do for me, but do you love Him? That's a different story. That's a different story. If he stopped doing stuff for you, will you still love him? Will you still want to know him? And that's the thing. I was trying to get into the Lord's presence, you know, and I think I had selfish motives. I'll be honest, I had selfish motives. I wanted to go into his presence, you know, to see, just to have more revelation. I wanted more revelation. Or I wanted more anointing. Or I wanted to go into a vision. Or I wanted to see more things that the Lord can offer me, that he can give me. And he spoke to me. When I went and laid down next to my wife just to be with her, and I'm like, man, I just like being with my wife. He said, you know, do you want anything from your wife? He didn't say nothing like that, but it was just like, man, I really didn't seek the Lord just to be with him. I sought the Lord to get something from him. And I just want to say that as we mature, now that's not wrong. You know, because God loves giving. He loves giving. But there's a time and place of maturity that we can fall into where there's, you know, I don't want anything from you, Lord. I just love your presence. Because when your presence comes, I'm undone. Because when I see you, it's just like, wow, worship, worship. Enjoying his presence, his awesome presence. So when it comes to the presence of God, you know, it's first, you know, we have to work at it, I think, to worshiping God. First, it starts with praise and thanksgiving. There's a Psalm 100 where it says, "You enter his gates with praise and his courts with thanksgiving." Worship, though, is automatic. You don't work on worship. That's an automatic response. Some of us, when we see a pile of money, we say, that's worship. I don't know if you know that. That means you love money. Some of us, when we see, you know, a good-looking person, it's like, that's worship. You love something, like whatever that is that made you do that. That's automatic. It's an automatic response. And so when you come into the presence of God, if you're working on praise and thanksgiving, if you really love Him, it'll be like an automatic response. Worship. It's a matter of the heart. You can't trick the heart. You can't trick right? You all know my right now it's fake, but if you see it for real, you'll be like, oh, I know what he worships. I know what's in his heart. When we praise the Lord, when we have him in the center, and when we notice his presence, worship is automatic. It's a heart of worship, enjoying his presence, falling in love with him. Nehemiah 12:30 talks about the priests and Levites purify themselves and purifying the gates and walls. Purification back then was a matter of putting probably water or salt or oil or some kind of hyssop or something like that. But purification today is not through those things. Using those things isn't wrong. In fact, if the Lord tells you to use those things, it would be wrong if you don't use it. But purification is by faith in putting your entire trust in the person of Jesus rather than our ability to follow just prescription, laws and prescription. Does that make sense? Our purification, God purifies our hearts when we're in a right relationship with Him. And it's this right relationship with Him, as it purifies our hearts, that it will prepare us for the end of the age, for the harvest. It will prepare us for the harvest. Some of us, you know, I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now, you need to get ready for the harvest. And I'm not just talking about an increase of people coming to church. I mean, that's a byproduct. That's part of the harvest. But the first part of the harvest is maturity in Christ. We need that. We need that yesterday. You know? Maturity in Christ. Let me ask you something. How many of you know your purpose and calling in Christ? Your gifting in Christ? Because, you know, scripture is clear. It says all of us has been given spiritual gifts. I think scripture is clear about purpose as well. You know, we have our general purpose, but then there's a revelatory purpose as well. You know, the general purpose of all Christians, which we all need to work on, is being a child of God. You know, being a royal priesthood, that's a general purpose. A general purpose would probably be like making disciples of all nations. That's a general purpose. But especially, you know, a revelatory purpose is more like what Paul was saying when he said, I was called to be an apostle. When we come into maturity, those things are very matter of fact. You know, it's about identity, right? When I talk about maturity in just a general term, you know, when we grow up, we really don't know who we are. We have identity issues. By the time you're like 20, mid-20s or 30, most of people, they have their identities intact. Oh, I'm an athlete, or I'm a musician, or whatever. You know, people like to put identity with what they like to do. That's not how it is in Christ, though. In Christ, our identity is in Him, but He also has, I believe, a purpose and calling for each and every one of you. That's about maturity, knowing who you are in Christ. And for those of us who don't have that or don't know that, I encourage you, seek it out. Lord, what do you have for me? What are you calling me to be? Because harvest time is not simply about, oh, the church is going to get big and we're going to have a good time together. No, it's about becoming more like Christ. It's about maturing into Christ first, then bringing in the souls into the kingdom. But it has to start with you. It has to start with you. How hungry are you? When it comes to harvest, and I'll just end with this point. When it comes to harvest, in the Old Testament, the Philistines used to come and try to steal the harvest. They would always come and try to steal the harvest. What does that mean in your life? It means this. There's going to be a lot of distractions in your life as the harvest nears. There's going to be a lot of distraction in your life. I don't think it's a coincidence for me as a sports guy that, you know, the NBA, the NCAA football, the NFL, the World Series, and the NHL, all of those, they start almost in harvest time. You guys realize that? All of those. You know how distracting that is for me? There's only so much football, basketball, fighting, UFC, that I could get in and miss the Lord. Yeah, if I try to get all of those in, I'm going to miss the Lord. You know that, right? And for those of you hunting, you know, hunting season is about this time too, right? So, I mean, it's an onslaught for us guys. It is. I don't know about you women, but it's like, basketball is about to start. Baseball is finishing. NCAA football, NFL football, all these things, all at one time. It's an onslaught. I'm telling you guys.
It's hard to watch, isn't it?
And then it's hunting season on top of that. It's hunting season. You'll miss your harvest. I don't know how it is for women. I don't know what you have right now. Nothing. I don't know. football, you know, Halloween, you guys like dressing up. I don't know. Sorry. But for us guys, it'll be stolen. The harvest will be stolen if you try to get it all in. You can't. I'm just telling you right now, you can't. So cut off what you can. Don't try to get everything in. You know, the Dodgers, the Giants, I'm an LA guy, so you know, the Dodgers, Giants, they're all playing. I don't watch it, look at that. Because I don't like it. The Lakers, they have Jeremy Lin now. I don't know. I'm probably... Hey, I want you guys to be proud of me. I didn't watch one single football game yesterday. One single football game. I didn't watch one single football. You guys proud of me? Your pastor. I'm trying to pave the way here. Let me tell you, but the harvest is coming. We need to be ready. If we're distracted by these things, and something is bound to happen, Satan don't like it when you start getting real with God. Something will happen. There'll be a legitimate excuse to miss your Bible time, a legitimate excuse to miss church, a legitimate excuse not to give, a legitimate excuse, you know, to do what, such and such and so and so. But if you don't determine in your heart right now, what you worship will be revealed. It will be revealed. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence, Lord. We just want to be people that love you, Lord. Not just what you can do for us. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all of your promises. We don't want to fall short of anything you have for us, Lord. You know, we want everything you want for us. And we know that you desire us to have more than what we could imagine or think of. And so we thank you. But we want to fall in love with you, Jesus. We want to know you. Know your way. Know your language. When you talk in parables, we don't want it to be a mystery, Lord. We want it to be plain. We want to seek you with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul, and give you the worship and praise you are due. Live a life worthy of the gospel. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we have the awesome opportunity to partake in communion here at JCCT. You don't have to be a member. You just, if you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, come up and take communion. The way we do it, we take the cracker, we dip it in the grape juice, and we take it. But before that, I just want to say, I just want to read from Luke. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's about Jesus implementing a new covenant. And this covenant has to do with his blood. Not with the sacrifice or bulls or any kind of animals, but with the sacrifice of his own body and saying, now here's the way into the Father's presence. It is through me. And now you have become my own if you would receive me by faith. By faith. Coming to know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We remember the sacrifice your Son, Jesus Christ, made for us. Jesus, we are forever indebted to you for the sacrifice. And we want to know you, Lord. We want to partake of your person and be in your presence. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.